Thank you, choir. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you this morning here at Landmark. Let's stand together and take a hymn book, please. Turn to number 88, hymn number 88. We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Sing it out this morning on the first verse together.
We have heard the joyful sound.
Song of victory this morning. To the front of your book farther, number one, hymn number one. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. Sing on the first verse.
I stand amazed in the presence.
In a moment, but before, go ahead and take time and shake hands with those around you this morning. Tell them you're glad to see them.
Song shall ever
good singing this morning. You may be seated. At this time, Brother Caleb Parsons and his wife Hannah are going to sing a duet for us.
I don't need silver, and I don't need gold, don't need the things of satisfy my soul, but I need Jesus and all he can give. He's my salvation. He's been won. He's all I need. I don't need fortune. I don't need fame. Don't really care if anyone down here even knows my name. 'Cause I know Jesus, and he knows me. That's all that matters, 'cause he is the answer. He's my everything.
He's all I need when trials come. He's all I need when there's nowhere to run. When I'm in trouble, caught in a storm, he takes care of me. All I need when my time comes, when I cross that river, when life here is done.
He fought the battle, the victory's been won. He's all I need.
He fought the battle, the victory's been won. He's all I need.
Amen. Thank you, Parsons family. And we have our ushers coming down. I hope that Jesus is all you need this morning and you're in a good place for that. Amen. But our ushers want to get a record of your visit. And so what we need you to do is raise your hand high if you're visiting with us. Maybe you've been visiting from some long time. We'd love to get a record of your visit. Reach up in the air with your hand and the guys will give you a card and a pen and you can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate for us. And that'd be a help to us. Amen. Raise it high. They all have glasses on. They need that. Amen. This morning, most of them. Richards are on his head again. All right, so, amen. Our announcements this morning, we're so glad to have everybody. Many people have been traveling, and so we've been praying for those that have been traveling. Had some really great updates in my Sunday school class about some of the missions trips, and hopefully in the next few weeks we'll get maybe an update on the one from Kenya there. But looking forward, pray for Steve, Marilla, and the work that was done. Just in a couple weeks they'll have a camp. They're with children there, so I mean, they were just there building the cabins, and they're not wasting, they're not letting any grass grow under their feet. They're going to have camp, amen. And so praise the Lord for that. I think he got trained in the right way here in Bible college to keep on keeping on and just have one thing after another and see people saved. Heard a good testimony from Lydia and Jevin on their mission trip, like 300 souls they think are saved, or they gave us a ballpark of that. And so what a blessing it is. We've been involved in a lot of different mission trips this summer as a church and a ministry, and even joining in with other groups. And so what a blessing it is to have just a lot of that count. And then got a good testimony from Brother, oh man, thank you for that, amen. So I would like to say I had a senior moment, but I'm not going to say that, amen. And so Brother Hester gave a good testimony about some of the work, the VBSs that were held down in the Caribbean and the work that was done on some churches there. And again, just what a blessing it is to know that the work of God is not only going on here, but all over the place because of the work of God here. Amen. And so, again, announcements. Hopefully you tuned in at this point. Ladies, don't forget to get registered for this upcoming ladies' retreat. It is going to be on September 5th and 6th, but you need to register by August 6th. So that is just a few days away. And so if you didn't get registered, you'd like to go, please see my wife. She'll help you get that taken care of and point you in the right direction or help you do it. And so we want you to do that. This week, our teachers are returning for orientation. That means pray, because it doesn't take long after the teachers are here, then the kids show up. Amen. And so that isn't going to be long before. So they're going to get ready, orientation. And then on Friday, school starts here. And looking forward to having the first day of school and a brand new school year. Pray, if you would, not only for the teachers, but just for our ministry. We've been doing this a long time, and I don't ever want to lose the zeal and desire to continue on doing the things that God has called us to do, and that's helping and assisting the Christian home, and that's what our goal is as a Christian school, but also, again, to be a witness of Jesus Christ in every one of those different areas, reading, writing, arithmetic, even in gym. We want to be talking about Jesus and encouraging them, amen? So please pray for our school as we work on all those different things, and then don't forget, I want to make sure that I do this before we get into the prayer request. Ralph Hutchinson, that's Brother Richard Hutchinson's dad, went home to be with the Lord, but the funeral will be held this Saturday, August 9th, at 1 p.m. at North Gainesville Baptist Church. And so if you want to go to that, that is North Gainesville. Don't put Gainesville Baptist Church, but North Gainesville Baptist Church, and that GPS will get you there. That is this upcoming Saturday at 1 p.m. As we turn our attention to the prayer list, be in prayer this week for Miss Marta Mullins as she goes to get some tests done. Looking forward to having a good report again. God has been so good after all the things that happened. But let's pray again. They've been here, and Brother Mullins gave me a good report. Hopefully he'll preach for us here soon. But he's been out. He was in 20 churches since he was here with us for the Spanish conference, trying to raise some more support. So please be in prayer for them as they'll be coming back to be with us. But really tomorrow, Marta's going to have those tests, and we'll see what those things say. But that cancer has stayed away and has not come back. All right. If you would be in prayer for Ron and Kathy Martin's unborn grandson, he's due in October there. And again, lungs, kidney surgery on this unborn child again. And then part of the brain is not completely developed yet. So just be in prayer that God would superintend all those things and take care of it. Then if you would continue to pray on for Miss Cindy Bradford, but really want to bring a brand new prayer request. She had her test and found out that a lot of that the cancer has moved into the lung, backbone, and in her blood. And so she is going to be undergoing some chemotherapy and immunotherapy, but really we just need to beg God for a miracle. And the cancer that she's had removed, been dealing with, that moved into the bone and in other areas. And so at this point, it is something that we need to beg God to change and pray for God to give grace and help in the hour that they need here. And so continue to pray for Miss Cindy if you would, but let's make sure we make it a matter of prayer again. After these surgeries, let's really pray that God will do a miracle here. And we're going to pray for David McEwen. He had a stroke and then has had some complications, had some internal bleeding this week, and is going back to the hospital. I want you to pray for them there in Canada, but want our prayers here. Love us and covet our prayers. Let's pray also and continue in prayer for Wyatt Wooten. Came through his surgery good. Miss Barbara Alchis, these are recent surgeries. She had a second knee surgery. And still in pain, but it looks pretty good, the doctor said. So just be in prayer as she recovers there. Then Ellie Walker, Sherry Parsons, Dr. Lee, and pray for Asher. All these have come through surgeries or tests. And then continue to pray for those on our cancer list. That would be Dalton Maloney, Cindy Bradford, and then if you would, Dan Canals, and then Juanita Ballard. She's got stage 4 cancer there. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to ask Brother Tyler to come and pray for us. You remain standing after the prayer for the offering.
Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you for Landmark Baptist Church and the opportunity we have to serve. Lord, I thank you for opportunity in America, Lord, we have to just have church together, Lord, without fear of interruption. Lord, I thank you for opportunity we've had as a church to have our members go serve in many different missions fields, a mission trip this summer. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of that. Lord, I pray you just bless us today, Lord. I pray you be with our pastor as he preaches. Lord, I thank you for the crowd being back this morning. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, I pray you be with our pastor and just give him your power. Lord, I pray you bless this offering, the gift and the giver, Lord. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. Our choir is going to sing for us now. Listen for the trumpet. Listen for the trumpet. It could be today. Amen. Let's stand together again, please. Turn in hymn number 328 in your hymnals. 328. Lead me to Calvary. Hope that's your prayer as we get ready to hear God's word preached in just a few minutes. Together on the first verse. King of my life, I crown thee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. It's great to have Hector Rodriguez back visiting with us, and whenever he comes, we ask him to sing. He's going to sing for us now before our message.
Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross you bore my sin and shame. At the cross he freely took my blame. From a rugged tree you have set me free. What a love, what a cost at the cross. Drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross you bore my sin and shame. At the cross you freely took my blame. From a rugged tree you have set me free. What a love, what a cost at the cross. Set me free. What a love, what a cost at the cross. What a love, what a cost at the cross.
Thank you, Brother Rodriguez. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to Genesis chapter 25 with me. Genesis chapter 25. And I refrain from calling him Brother Hector. Try to call him Brother Rodriguez. Amen. But it's hard when you've traveled on the road, as he was just a graduate singer in college there. Went on the road with us. Amen. And did a lot of that. Enjoyed that. And so it's a blessing to just have so many folks back with us. Amen. Some folks visiting with us. I don't want to go past without just acknowledging that. Thank you so much for being with us this morning and choosing to be in the house of God. Don't take it lightly. You know, we all have choices that we make on a regular basis. And Genesis 25 is no different. We find Esau and Jacob in this place. And I want to preach a message to you this morning called Trading Your Birthright for Beans. Trading your birthright for beans. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, in the passage of scripture, you'll see the thing that happens here. But, you know, sometimes we all, I don't know about you, but most men, let me say this, most men, we like to trade things, you know. We like to always come out on the better end of the trade. or at least feel like it was a fair trade. Amen. It's bad when after the trade is over, you feel like that was a terrible trade. I made a terrible choice. Amen. I won't go into all the story, but I remember trading one of my friends, and I knew I was getting the worst end of the deal, but he was my friend. And so I thought I was at least getting a good part of the deal, you know, but I hadn't seen it. It all involved, I know this will shake some of you up, but it involved cars, a truck, and a gun. Okay? So I'd seen the car and the truck, but I hadn't seen the gun. And when the gun came, it was a very disappointing trade to me. Amen? But I mean, all of us will make trades, and again, after the fact, sometimes we're friends, and sometimes we'll allow ourselves to be defrauded. But one of the hardest things in all the world is when it's somebody that we feel like we could trust, somebody that's our brother, somebody that's close to us. And in the scripture here, you got two twins. Now, again, these guys are going to be named for what they come out of the womb as, and for all of us, we can understand that. I'm so glad that I didn't get named that way. I got a name with heritage, but you know, here you got Esau, who is really named after being red-haired. Just hairy is what his name means. And Jacob comes out, and he's holding on to his brother's heel, and so they name him Jacob, which means surplanter or the holder or tripper up of the heel. And so for each one of them, they're going to be named by how they come out, and it's going to stick with them the rest of their lives. But then they come to the passage of Scripture that we're going to read in Genesis 25. I hope you made it there this morning. I want you to look with me in Genesis 25 and look at verse number 24. The Lord has told their mother, Rebekah, that they're coming into the world and that it's not just one baby, but it's two. Now, most of us live in an age today that ladies find that out really early. My wife is a twin, and I remember they didn't realize that that was happening until right near the end of the pregnancy. So it hasn't been all that many years ago that folks didn't always know that until it came to the end. But the Lord reveals that to Rebekah and tells her just in the verse before. But then in verse 24, it says, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, they were twins in her womb." Now, when God says something, you can bank on it. God had already told her they were going to be twins, but guess what happened? She had twins. Isn't that great? When God says something, you can bank on it. You can take it to the bank, amen, over and over again through the Bible. And then verse 25, "And the first came out red all over." Twin means two, by the way. "All over like a hairy garment." Now, you may be hairy in here today, but I'm not sure you're hairy like a hairy garment. It was a stark contrast to the two of these folks that come out of the womb. One is going to be just not much hair at all, and the other one came out like he was wearing a blanket of hair. Amen? And so that's the contrast, but can you imagine even the other contrast of the blanket of hair is bright red? All right, he's blanketed with hairiness, and it's red according to the scripture. "And so the first came out red all over as a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, and the man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob, and Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom." The word Edom itself is also connected to red. It's red beans in this pottage, and because he sells his birthright, the name Edom and the land itself in the area get named after the beans and the pottage that he sold his birthright for. What a terrible mark, and again, I'm not going to sit everything there, but wouldn't it be crazy if we were to mark, I'll just take this today and I'll launch off of it before I get reading because I'm going to go on a tangent, and so this is preaching in on our country, okay? We live in America. America is known for freedom, and we have been continually selling out our freedoms and our birthright year after year after year. We have sold out our birthright for conveniences, for break on taxes. For most of the time, we've sold our soul out, but for, if I could say, for minimum wage, just if I could just say it as a generality, we've sold our freedoms for stupidity. For everyday conveniences, we sold out what it took blood to buy for us, what it took God to superintend a war of independence and let the little tiny skirmish army overtake the strongest army in all the world at the time. We don't think about it the way we ought to. I thank God for the red, white, and the blue. I thank God for what our country stands for. There is not a nation on planet Earth that has the birthright and the heritage that we currently hold. Nobody has a constitution like we have. And folks, if we're not careful, we allow people to negotiate and sell out our birthright on a daily basis, and we call those people politicians. We ought to be careful who we put in office. You say, well, I appreciate Trump. Now, I like him trying to drain the swamp. He's punching holes in all kinds of things. But folks, one person punching, even if it is the highest office, ain't enough. There's a lot of places that need holes punched in it to get the place back to where it ought to be. You say, I don't like his politics. That's okay. I'm just here to tell you that for all of us, there's one man trying to fix a bunch of things from the past, ain't going to fix them in just 4, 8, of those years. It's going to take the people. If we truly are a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people, then the people ought to wake up and care about the things that are going on. It's not going to be the people in office that change our country. It's going to be the people of the country who demand change, who demand and hold people's feet to the fire that they will change. You have to get involved. You have to be up to date, and that doesn't mean watching some news agency that will tell it to you the way they see it. It's being involved. It's being educated yourself on what really is going on in Washington, in Tallahassee, in Haines City, or in Davenport, or whatever city you live in. It takes people changing things. And you say, well, listen, in this story, a person makes a personal decision to sell out their own inheritance. We have gone even worse than that. We just let somebody else do it. And then we complain about what they're selling out. Then we complain like it isn't our fault. Can you imagine how sad this story would be if Esau got his friend to show up because he was hungry and his friend came back and said, I made a great deal. I sold out your birthright for a bowl of chili. And listen, I'm just going to tell you that you say the momentary fix, and that is where we are, folks. There are so many generations of Americans that have sold out their children and their birthright for whatever they needed right then and there, whatever they thought would benefit them. You say, well, preacher, I thought you were going to preach the Bible. Okay, well, get back in with me, all right? I tried to help you this morning, all right? But if you don't want help, let's get back into the Bible and we'll go to you personally, all right? Not just as a nation. But folks, I really do worry about our country because there's no country in the world that has a birthright like we have. And if we lose everything in our freedom, we will have been the shortest country to start so well and to end so terribly. And you wonder why I can't find America anywhere in the Bible. Because we'll be such a blip on the time of history to have so much and to sell it out so quick. Listen, Esau doesn't come up nearly as much as Jacob does. But that's because of what Jacob bought and what he invested in and how God changed him. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we have a great, great foundation. But what will be America's end? What will be America's end? And guess who determines that? Almighty determines that. All right? He determines that. But the Bible still holds the truths of, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Do you know most people would be okay with all the ones until they get to turning? The Bible says that he grew. In verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. There's a stark difference in the two boys themselves. One is a hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. That man's, it was Mr. Mom, cooking and washing dishes, hanging out in the tent. Not the greatest start in the world. The other guy was man's man. Kill and eat, bless God. Hairy as it could be. Amen? Rough. Rough from the start. Out killing in the field, and it says that his dad loves him. Isaac loved. Look in verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, can I ask you this question? Now, in your home. Now, I know this isn't like 3 points in a poem and everybody's, but can I ask you about your home today? How are you raising your kids? Did you and your wife decide to split them up and this is your boy and this is my boy? And I'll train this one up rough as a cob and he'd teach him all the things a man ought to teach him and you can have this boy and raise him up like a girl. Another plight on America is there's been way too many homes that raise kids without a daddy in the home. And then boys, listen, the whole epidemic we have in our country of soft men is because they had a strong lady and no daddy in the home. Listen, I'm going to tell you, daddies, you got a responsibility. And it ain't to take care of yourself and leave and let mom. You are responsible to raise men. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because I'm telling you, we live in a day and age where if you're not careful, you'll end up with two stark differences. And then you'll have all that, listen, all the psychology. Can you hear Jacob? Well, daddy never loved me. He always loved Esau. Mama loved me. He was a mama's boy. But it looks like even the Bible lays the blame at the door, mom and dad. Not just Jacob and Esau, but mom and dad. Jacob was loved by who? Isaac and Rebekah. They chose. They picked their favorites. God help us that our homes, we pick our favorites. Instead of raising our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've never read anywhere in the scripture that we ought to pick our favorite and take care of them. Amen? We ought to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. By the way, they need to be trained to be adults. They're not going to be kids forever. But we live in a nation of we've raised kids forever. Amen. Say, preacher, you're just really hitting on it today. Well, we ain't done yet. Let's keep going. Verse, if you would, 29. And Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. One of them was cooking in the kitchen, and the other one had been out working in the field or hunting in the field, and he had not taken anything or prepared himself very well. Can I tell you, most of the time when you're ready to sell out, it's because you did not prepare yourself. He comes in the place, and listen, I'll just tell you this. When you don't have anything, you still got something. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking that there's never been a time in my life when I realized that even though I didn't have a dollar in my pocket, that my last name was Parsons and that meant something in the town that I grew up in. That I had a testimony that but if I was going to do something wrong, it wasn't just going to be on me. It was going to be on my daddy. It was going to be on my family, that my kids would have to live that down, and that someday it would get all the way back to I'm a Christian. He's a Christian and he calls himself. He did that. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, we got some things. We come to the place where we make decisions because we're flat broke. But even when you're flat broke, can I tell you, you still got things of value, like your testimony, like your heritage and your inheritance in the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't understand why you're getting after us today. I'm just trying to tell you this morning that for all of us, he comes to a place where he expects someone else, feed me. Can I tell you where America is today, where a lot of homes are and a lot of people and what they come? Listen, they show up at the church. They show up all around all the time, and they do just this. We got a world full of Esau's. ready to sell anything. And it's not, listen, oh, well, they're on drugs or alcohol. No, this guy just was tired and faint and hungry. And he comes up and he says, look at verse number 30, if you would. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same pottage, for I am faint, therefore. Was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Let me take the one thing of value that you have left. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I had a brother and a sister. Now, what I would have done after my brother said, sell me your birthright, I'd have knocked his block off and taken a bowl of chili. You say, that's not spiritual. No, it is not. But I'm just telling you, I'm thinking, what kind of family is this that he walks in? It's clear from the scripture, Esau could have whooped Jacob like that. He could have made a lot better deal than he made, even if he had to twist his brother's arm to do it. But it's clear that his birthright means nothing to him. If he wanted it, he could have taken it and dealt with it later with his brother. I mean, we could have talked about all kinds of things. Wrong, right, everything here. It's his brother, and his brother, by the way, his brother's not doing right either. But it's wrong for people to walk in and expect somebody else to just take care of them and feed them. But I will say this, and I preach it all the time from this pulpit, when he shows up, Jacob and Esau are family. And if there was anybody that he should expect to feed him, it would have been family. It would have been his brother. If there was anybody that he should expect to take care of him and help him and not rob him of his birthright, it was his brother. But again, we see how little he cares about it when he's talking to his brother. He doesn't even say, listen, I'll give you a deer next week. I'll work this out, you know. He doesn't even try that. I don't care about that birthright. Now, you see, the birthright is something for all of us. Maybe you don't understand that this biblical birthright that is here is not just fleshly, but it's spiritual as well. Especially in the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because it should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. When it came down to the Lord, the Messiah's, Matthew chapter 1, and they start counting down, instead of Jacob, it should have said in there, according to the birthright, Esau. But it doesn't read that way, does it? But I'm just going to tell you, the Bible says that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And it was because of what he thought of his birthright. Now, folks, I'm preaching to the choir with many of you coming to church today, but I'm just going to tell you, and I'm giving more of a warning out this morning than I am just anything. I believe we live in a day, and there's Christians in this room. Be careful. I believe that we have an economy that is trying to work on, and I think there's all kinds of things stirring. But listen, things ain't got better quick as everybody hoped it would. When you deal out what they say is, what, 23.5% inflation from the previous administration, and that thing has continued to creep into the current administration, it hasn't bounced back as fast as you want it to. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, things don't always work with the snap of a finger. Everybody's bank accounts don't get fatter just because you get a tax break. It doesn't always happen that way. And for all of us, we ought to get to the place where we understand that lean times come and go. Blessings come and go. But we ought to be steadfast in our belief and be prepared for these things. And if somebody needs help, they ought to go to family like he did and ask for it. But I'm just going to tell you, we don't need to run out and sell our birthright about everything. The birthright of the firstborn was to not only this, he would receive the position of his father in the family as the leader. He would receive not only that, but I mean beyond that, that when all the brothers and sisters, depending on there was just two when we're looking at this, but let's say there were four, that's all going to get divvied up among his inheritance from his father is going to get separated out between all of them. But the firstborn got a double portion compared to all the other recipients in the inheritance. That means however they divided it up, if there's 6, 12, 15 of them, the firstborn got twice as much as everybody else. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm saying the firstborn got the best portion of everything. Can I just tell you that the blessing is that God don't got no grandkids? And that you got a birthright, not just a fleshly one, of being able to live and breathe and being born again, or at least live in freedom here in America. Most of us don't fleshly on a daily basis understand just what we got when we just got here. If you were to take a mission trip around the world like so many in our congregation have done, you would realize just how good you have it. Instead of whining about the 80 degrees air conditioning in the church and you might have to take your bulletin and fan yourself a little bit, go around the world where there ain't none. Go around the world where there you can't get a drop of water in the air. All you're sucking in every minute is dust. You don't put on a mask because of COVID. It's because you're going to suck in a great big old spoonful of dirt every time you breathe. You say, there aren't places like that. There are places like that in America. But really worse around the world. Sometimes we forget just what we were born into. On a daily basis, we ought to thank God for our inheritance, what we were born into and what God has done for us in the blessings of the flesh. But more so, if you're saved and on your way to heaven today, you ought to thank God for your birthright being born again into the family of God. That there is an inheritance laid up in heaven, one you didn't have to work for, one that He went to prepare a place for you. And He doesn't finish with just that, but if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Sometimes we forget that the greatest inheritance we have in God is God Himself. God Himself said to Abraham, folks, this is sometimes what we miss. Abraham is going to God and telling God, like, before he has Isaac, he thinks everything's ruined and that who's going to inherit? And God says to Abraham, Abraham, I am your inheritance. Sometimes we miss that the same promises to Abraham for us is that God is our delight. He is our inheritance. The person that we look forward to, I'm not looking for what my street number is on the street of gold and the mansion I will be taken to, but I cannot wait to stand and see my Savior face to face. It's my birthright. As a born-again Christian, one day I'll stand before Almighty God and not answer for my sin, but for the opportunities He gave me in this life to serve Him. For all of us, we miss the birthrights. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll start bartering our birthright with the devil. Jesus is our great ensample, our example in the scripture. And if he has the audacity to try to trade with Jesus Christ his birthright, then he's not going to stop there. He's going to come to you as well. He came to Jesus and the temptation of Jesus Christ was turn stones into bread. He started out with something simple. Guess how the devil will start out with you? Something simple. Just trade something that don't really matter to you. Jesus did what? How do you defeat the devil when he comes to barter with you and make a bad deal? Jesus defended himself with scripture over and over again, and he was God. For all of us, listen, I'm just going to tell you, for all of us, we barter on a daily basis. The devil is consistently bringing you beans for your birthright. And he wants to trade you something that is nothing, it's fleshly, it's earthly, and it will disappear out of the bowl and it'll be gone. Satisfying for a moment, but drifts away. Can't find it the day after. Not something that mattered. It was momentary appeal when you sold something that was really eternal, of eternal blessings. I think about this, and as I prepared the message and sat and thought about this, I thought about how many people, when we get to heaven, we squander the rewards that we will have in heaven. God give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to build up rewards that we can cast back at His feet. Things not for us, but for Him. And that on a daily basis, we squander those birthrights or rewards that God was, something that we have an opportunity to gain in this life. And on a daily basis, we just decide we would rather squander them on earthly gain or daily pleasures rather than having something of eternal value. You say, preacher, why are you getting? Because this is promotion Sunday. Kids are going up to the next grade. School's about to start. Everything's gearing back up. And if we're not careful, listen, we've come through a summer where we went to some place that don't look like our house. We had vacation, you know, a time to get away and to get rejuvenated and get back. And if we're not careful, we'll start living our life for vacation. We'll start focusing on maybe I ought to sell everything out and go live down in that beautiful place instead of, hey, sticking it out where God planted me and doing the things that God's asked of me so that I can have eternal reward. Listen, on a daily basis, anybody that's got any sense is tempted to go off and to do something that's easier, prettier, better, there you go. I mean, just every one of us have to come to the place where we realize, no, this is where God put me. This is where God's got me raising my kids and my family. This is the place. I said it before. This is the place, right? Amen. And for all of us, we have to on a daily basis realize this is what God has for me. This is what God's for me. This is his birthright for my life. And I'm going to do what God's asked me to do until he comes. The devil will come knocking on your door. The devil will try to tempt you and take everything you got. He'll offer you everything from rocks turned to bread all the way until he takes you up into a high mountain and spreads out all the world in front of you and says, trade your heavenly birthright for all the kingdoms of the world. Somewhere in between will be the temptation of the devil in your life. And on a daily basis, you're going to have to say, no, smut face. I'm going to keep my birthright. You say, preacher, why are you getting so hard on this? Because it's sad. When we come to this place, he comes to the place and says, sell me. Look at the devil in Jacob's voice, if you can, in verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. Do you know what most people, when they finally give in, if you even put up a fight, this don't look like much of a fight to me. I'm at the point to die. Do you know how many of us, listen, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a sad day where people crumble like a bad chocolate chip cookie. Got no stiffness or backbone to them at all. By the way, not just spiritually, but in the flesh. Crumble. Give up. Folks, let's have some stick-to-itis to us. Let's have some fight in us. Let's have some standing for the faith in us. Let's stand for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Is it true in all of our lives when you look around in the days, it's not a wonder that Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? For all of us, we've got to come to the place where we don't sell out with the first thing, or I'm at the point to die, so I've got a reason to sell out. No. Do you know how many folks, if we were to turn to Hebrews chapter 11? By the way, Esau is in Hebrews chapter 12, not in the Hall of Faith. In chapter 11, you're going to go through there and you're going to find Jacob. You're going to find people who stood, some that stood until death. And then the Bible gives us, for all of those that we don't have real powerful names, they gives us a list of people who we're going to see on the other side and others. Whom this world was not worthy of. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I've been looking forward to meeting some of the others one day and hearing their story, whom God Almighty said that this world was not worthy of them because they stood for the faith once delivered to the saints. Folks, you say, preacher, why are you getting after this? Because I believe that we make bad deals on a daily basis. We sell out our birthright for beans. We ought to come to the place in our lives, if we just come to a place, listen, broken and bitter people, not just people who fleshly feel like they're going to die, broken and bitter people are selling things out. Listen, I'm going to tell you, in this room, we are not just people who are bad at bartering or bad at trading things off. That's where Esau was. But you know what? Sometimes people who are bad barterers, what they become? And they stick around the church trying to hang on to a piece of their birthright. Broken and bitter people. Because they made bad choices in the past. Why is it good for us? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, you know the only person that can fix broken and bitter is God. The only person that can fix those things is when we go to God. Too many times we're looking to some shrink, some friend, some thing in this life to fix things that broke us or made us bitter when we got to go to God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to see this. Esau shows up in this place, and Esau does make this trade. He doesn't think anything about it until it's time that his dad calls on him, and he thinks that he traded off his birthright, and he's still going to get it. And Jacob comes in and steals his birthright. Did he really steal it? The Bible records a contractual agreement. Birthright for a bowl of beans. Hebrews chapter 12, I hope you found it. Look at verse 12 with me. He's looking back, and I'll just say this, all the way back to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we're going to finish well, if we're going to stand for the faith, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the perfect example of someone who stood and did not sell out his birthright. It says in verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands which are hanging down. Church, what do I do with this? I'm doing good, preacher. This message weren't for me. Well, maybe it's for the person next to you, and maybe you need to lift up their hands and help the person with feeble knees that's about to fall out. Because somebody's about to sell out their birthright and their family. What should Jacob have done when his brother was ready to sell his birthright? He should have helped his brother instead of taking it from him. Help him. Look at verse 12. He says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I don't know where you're at today, but I'm just going to tell you, listen, there's nothing wrong with crossing the finish line with a brother or sister in Christ who is limping towards the finish line. And again, you know, they can't walk straight. You know, a lot of times when people are broken, they limp. And they get going on an angle. Because everything ain't always straight. But you know what happens? I've noticed when somebody comes in and they take their arm or they put their hand under their shoulder, all of a sudden they walk a little straighter than they did before. Because now they've got some strength that they didn't have before, that somebody else came alongside of them. I'm just going to say, listen, folks, this ain't always when God preaches. Sometimes it's for us to look around and who we can help. And who's about to fall out? Sometimes God preaches a message that people wake up to what they are and they're ready to ask for help, but then somebody else needs to be willing to give it. He says, make those paths straight in verse 13. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness without, which no man shall see the Lord. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest it any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Did you see what that says? When we allow something, it says help people who have got, their hands are hanging down, their knees are feeble. Because when somebody gets bitter, is just one person gets defiled in that? Is there only one person that gets hurt when somebody gets bitterness and a root of bitterness takes hold inside of a family of God? Oh, no, it affects the body. And many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Can I tell you that Esau didn't get better after he sold his birthright? He went way downhill. When he sold out, he sold out. He was mad, bitter at the world. He ran back in after the birthright was gone and begged his father for a blessing, begged his dad to give him anything that was left. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the best place he could have done was to stay right from that point on. There are people that have sold out their birthright. You say, preacher, what do I do? Listen, there are some things that you sell out spiritually in the work of God, you will never get back. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a place for you. I would submit to you that, listen, he was mad with Jacob, but when Jacob came back, Esau and Jacob got together. Jacob was worried, what's going to happen? And then the two brothers came back together. Why? Because they were family. You know, Esau didn't get kicked out of the family. Esau wasn't put out to the pasture, but Esau was still his brother For most of us, we come to the place in our lives where we start making things, we make things up, and we, for a morsel of bread. Yeah, listen, he sold out his birthright. That means future inheritance and blessings of God. But listen, if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and you ain't been doing right, you didn't sell out your born again birthright to heaven. When you're saved and on your way to heaven, listen, I'm going to tell you, nothing is going to change that. You can't sell that out. You can't lose that. That's not what we're talking about. But listen, you can mess up your testimony. You can tear down. Listen, you can disqualify yourself from things in the ministry. But God loves you and wants you to come home to him. And if you'll come back and just come to him with repentance, listen, you're not going to be rejected by a holy God or from this church. If you're willing to repent and to come home, God will take you back. This church will take you back. Because guess who's the head of this church? Jesus Christ. For all of us, sometimes we get to the place in our lives where we let bitterness or brokenness or what would they think about us. I'm going to tell you, you're inside of a church full of sinners, saved by grace. And we're going to realize that you are just like us, a sinner saved by grace that's coming home. Now listen, doesn't mean that you're going to get all the rights and privileges to everything that you would have if you didn't sell out. But I can tell you this, you'll be welcome home. You'll be welcome back. But don't go confusing you lost everything because you still are saved and on your way to heaven. But I'll say this, you say, what should I do this morning? Don't stay broken and bitter because that hurts everybody. You're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting everybody around you. You say, preacher, I didn't even think about it before this morning. Listen, you say, well, I'm here and I've never been saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then you have a wonderful birthright in Jesus Christ. You can be born again into the family of God this morning and have all the inheritance that God gives any blood-bought, born-again Christian in this life. You say, preacher, how do I do that? Come and put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I understood our country's in a mess. Yeah. There are Christians in a mess. Yeah. What do? We come alongside, hold up feeble hands. How's the government going to get better for people to get involved? How do people in the church get better when they're broken and hanging on, when people in the church, they allow people and they're willing to take help and the people step in and help? I believe we live in a day and age, I really believe this, where we think separation, instead of separating unto God, we think it's separating away from each other. When the only way people get help is when we come alongside and we hold up feeble hands and those with hard and broken knees. You say, preacher, you've been preaching a lot about broken things because we got a lot of broken people. And some of us need to climb down off our high horse and wrap arm in arm with somebody who needs help and help them limp on home. Help them make that path a little straighter than it was yesterday. Say, preacher, how am I going to finish well if I got off track? Make your path straight again. Make holiness a goal in your life. I mean, this passage of scripture says, follow peace with all men. You know what the end of bitterness and brokenness usually is taking, I mean, the first step to getting over bitterness is following peace with all men. And then holiness. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. If I'm going to, listen, it's something God wants us to be more like him. Turning in and instead of turning loose and turning out is the best way for every one of us. But if you're here without Christ, listen, the very first step, preacher, I'm bitter and broken. But if you're not saved, listen, you're never going to be able to have the power to overcome the things that the devil's going to throw at you and all the worst things of your past if you don't get saved and get the Spirit of God inside of you. Listen, it's the power of God to become the sons of God. That day I got the Spirit of God, you say, what took place? Man, I can tell you like this. Listen, I've heard old timers say, glory took root in my soul. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you're here and you're not saved, don't leave this place without being born again into the family of God. But if you're a Christian and there's some things that have been holding you back that you would list under bitterness or brokenness, why don't you bring them to God today? Leave them at the altar. Say, God, I'm not going to do that. It comes down here because Esau sought repentance when it was too late. That tells me this, that there's a time There's a time period on it. There's a time period of when there's a space and time of repentance and when there isn't one anymore. You say, preacher, what is that time period? I don't know. That clock is different for every person. But I can tell you, for Esau, he let the clock go 1 minute too late. You say, preacher, what about getting saved? Well, I can tell you this, when after Jesus comes back and you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to the scripture, you waited 1 minute too late. You say, preacher, why are you preaching like that? Because I believe that people need to get saved that are lost and on their way to hell, that they don't need to wait a minute too late to get saved. And I know this, there are people in this church that have waited way too long to get right with God. And you ought to. You ought to do it this morning. You ought not put it off another day. You ought to get right with God. That means come back to Him. Ask God to help you. You may need to tell the preacher about it. Look for somebody that'll hold your hands up and help you in your place. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, most people don't get better on their own. They got to see a doctor, or they got to help somebody help them into the hospital. Maybe you need help today. You ought to come and tell us about it. That's what the family of God is for. Maybe you're here and you say, preacher, I've been coming here a long time. I'm saved and I'm not a member of this church. Maybe you need to join the church through baptism. Maybe you need to do that by just, I've been baptized, preacher, but I've never come and joined this church. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Join the local church. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'm going to pray and ask God to lead you to do exactly what He wants you to do. But I'll just say this. Don't wait a minute too late. Don't wait till it's no longer time and it's past, where there's no space of repentance for you. Do business with God when it's the day to do business with God. And today is the day of salvation for you if you're not saved. Today is the day to get it right if you're away from God. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd be with those this morning that need to be saved. Lord, I pray that You'd help them not to leave this place, but to know that they know that they know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Help them to have 100% surety of that today. I pray, God, You'd be with those that, without a doubt, there are folks that need to do business with You, God. Some of them, it's other people have hurt them, God, and they have some bitterness against others. Lord, I pray that You'd help them to come and seek peace, Lord, in their life, and that they would just give it to You and forgive those people and be healed, Lord. I pray that You'd be with others, Lord, that there's bitterness and brokenness of the past. Lord, I pray that they'd let it go today. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be able to spot and help others that need help as Christians today, Lord. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me as the invitation begins? Brother Bert's going to begin to sing, but if you need to be saved, would you meet me in the front? Let us take a Bible and show you how to, you know for sure that heaven's your home.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
folks have come this morning, will you bow your head with me and pray for those that need to be saved in the building? If you're a Christian, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know that you would spend eternity in heaven for a Bible reason, the invitation is to you. I invite you to step out. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home because you've put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, please, this morning, don't leave lost. Step out and receive Christ. As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you opportunity.
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
We have something to share with you this morning, church, and if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, please don't leave. Maybe you couldn't bring yourself to come down the aisle this morning, but after the service is over, I'll be right here for just a couple minutes, and we'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Please don't leave on your way to hell. Make sure you know that for sure by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jacob Scavone is coming back, moving his membership back with us. Come right up here, brother. Jacob, if I've got to look at all of them, you got to look at them too. Amen. And so Brother Jake is coming back, and then also we have our brother over here. Brother David, if you would stand up with us. I'm not going to make you walk all the way down here. All right, Brother David he would like to join the church, and he has been baptized and saved, but he wants to move his membership and serve here in our church. And so Brother David and Brother Jacob, both of them would like to move their membership. How many would welcome them back in with the right hand of fellowship and so carry? All right, we're going to close in prayer. We'd love to see you back tonight. And come down and shake hands with both of these two men and just welcome them back into our church with the right hand of fellowship. You raised it now. Reach it out to them. Amen this morning. Brother Congdon, would you come close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the preaching this morning. Father, we thank you for those that have come and visited with us today. And Father, we thank you for these decisions of these two men joining us in fellowship and moving their membership here. Lord, we just thank you for the victory we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the preaching that reminded us, Father, our purpose and Father, our goals. And Father, just help us to be about your business. Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity to be back again tonight, be with our afternoon now, and Father, just as we come in, Lord, help us to be ready with listening ears to hear what you have for us. We thank you again for this opportunity to be here today. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.